story about the starfish. The one that begins, there was a young man walking along the seashore, and it was low tide. And so on this stretch of seashore, there are all these starfish who've been stranded as the tide has gone out. And so he begins to pick them up one at a time and put them back in the ocean. Because if they don't get back in the ocean, the starfish are going to die. And an older man comes along and sees him and looks at the stretch of starfish out in front of him and looks at this boy and says, "What are you doing? You can't possibly save all of the starfish. What difference do you think you can make?" And the young man picks up a starfish and holds it in his hand for just a minute and says to the older gentleman, "But it makes a difference to this one." And he puts that one back in the water. Last week's gospel reading from Mark showed us the first miracle Jesus performed in Galilee when Jesus drove a demon out of a man at the synagogue service. This week's reading takes place just an hour or so later. After the synagogue, Simon and Andrew bring Jesus and James and John to their family home. And somehow, and we're not quite sure how it happens, Jesus learns that the mother of Simon's wife is ill. She has a fever. Now, for you and me, a fever is not such a big deal. But in the first century, there were very few effective pain relievers and fever reducers. There were no antibiotics. Fevers and the malady they signified could easily turn fatal. Now, maybe Jesus learns she's ill because Simon's wife is distracted caring for her mother. Maybe she doesn't come to greet the guests. Maybe the house is topsy-turvy. The supper table hasn't been set yet. Maybe they're asked to speak in hushed tones. Or perhaps, as they enter the house, a friend and visitor of the sick woman is departing. However it comes about, once told of the situation, Jesus wastes no time. Having just come from the synagogue, which is a public space in his society, the sphere for the men, he's entered a home. That's the women's sphere in his culture. And then he goes straight to this sick woman, and with a simple gesture, he heals her. Pained in that gesture, he reaches out and takes her hand. Jesus is breaking social convention by touching a sick woman. Then he raises her up. The Greek verb agiro, used here, is the same verb applied to his own resurrection story in chapter 16 of Mark's gospel, when an angel tells the women at the tomb, "He is risen, he is not here." That word, agiro, we see it again in chapter 5, when Jesus raises a dead little girl to life. The first resurrection story told in Mark's gospel is this one, about a woman in her home. While Mark doesn't come right out and say it, because there's a lot of detail left to our imaginations in Mark, I gather, primarily because she's living in her daughter's home, that this woman was a widow, someone who lacked financial support of her own. While first century evidence regarding widows is pretty varied, some dwelling within the Roman Empire seem to have property and wealth at their disposal, while others do not. The fact that Simon's mother-in-law is living in his home falls outside the realm of typical behavior. In fact, the ancient language doesn't have a term for mother-in-law. This dear soul is never named. She's only referred to as Simon's wife's mother. The laws of Moses decreed when a woman was widowed, if she had no property of her own, she should return to her father's home and care, if he was still living, or to the care of her eldest son, if her father was no longer alive. But this soul is living with her daughter and daughter's husband. There was no legal expectation that Simon would take her into his care, but there are caveats throughout the Hebrew scriptures that bid Israel look after the widows and the orphans and the foreigners in their midst. In other words, those who had no land to farm who had no inheritance to rely on. This would appear to be a choice Simon made, one that suggests compassion as in is informed by relationship. And then when she is ill, Simon's friend and teacher, Jesus, also has compassion on her and heals her. In a world run by the powerful, Jesus tells us the powerless matter. This one matters. Mark's gospel also tells us that once she's healed, she gets up and serves. Now, the Greek word used here is diakoneo. In church, we derive the term for the status of the deacon at diaconal ministries from it. It's a broad term that simply means service. We cannot discern from the text exactly what Mark meant. It may have meant that she got up and helped to lay out dinner for the Sabbath night. But it may also have meant that she became one of those disciples who sat at Jesus' feet, who listened to his teachings, who further served by spreading the good news of who Jesus is far and wide in Galilee. We might even look a little farther into Mark's story, right to the very end. When Jesus died on the cross, Mark tells us, among those watching were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. They had served him, served and followed as disciples. But those servants and followers all started their journey someplace. Maybe some began on this very Sabbath night that we're talking about. Certainly Simon and Andrew, James and John, were already on board. We see, too, that word about Jesus had begun to spread. He healed that man in the synagogue, and within hours, the whole town of Capernaum is at his door. One story told by every soul at the synagogue, and look at the multiplication. Look at the power of one. Don't you imagine that by the next morning, Simon's wife and Simon's mother-in-law have shared her story with their friends, too? Healing matters. Healing matters to this one. And the power of this one voice quickly turns into a few voices, and a few becomes many, which brings some song lyrics to my mind. I know you're all surprised by that. The song? Really? Just one voice, singing in the darkness. All it takes is one voice, singing so they hear what's on your mind. When you look around, you'll find there's more than one voice, singing in the darkness, joining with your one voice. Each and every note, another octave. Hands are joined and ears unlocked. It takes that one voice, just one voice, and everyone's singing. All it takes to begin is one. That's what Jesus' ministry was about. It was always about the one in front of him, the demon-possessed man, the sick woman, the person at Simon's door, and the next, and the next. Jesus heals and heals and heals, and finally, the scripture says, he slips away to recharge his spiritual batteries. And when Simon and the others find him in the morning, he's ready to move on. There's more to do. There are more hurting souls who need help and healing, more voices to take up the chorus, more ones who need to see who Jesus is. It matters. He matters to each one of them, and each one matters to him. Amen, church.